give you this. Okay, you can open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we want to begin by just simply reading verses 1 through 11. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. For if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will partake of the consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivers us from so great a death and does deliver, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us, you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. In light of the historical context of this epistle, as Paul sensed the need to defend his authority and ministry and to answer some of the major threats to his leadership in the church at Corinth, we've underscored so far two scriptural principles for spiritual leadership. Number one, godly and growing spiritual leaders remain faithful to the Lord and loyal to God's flock, even amidst severe and ongoing criticisms. And we are reminded in chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not faint. We don't quit. We keep our eyes on the Lord. We stay faithful to the task, and we watch the Lord pull it off. Second principle was that godly and growing spiritual leaders encourage people to think principally, even in highly emotional situations, starting with recognizing the attributes of God. And thinking principally is so very, very important, especially in highly emotional situations where our tendency is to let our emotions overwhelm us and run us and dictate policy in our life. And if you've developed a reservoir of biblical truths and scriptural principles and promises in your mind, the Holy Spirit can bring these to your remembrance when the need arises, if you turn to the Lord at those times. Now, at first it may just involve casting your burden on the Lord because you can't handle even thinking at first. But then the Lord allows you to start to get your wits about again and get your eyes focused on who He is and what He has said. And as a result, you begin to find stability. You begin to find strength, you begin to find direction in your thinking. You know, I don't know what it's been, but for the last few days, I've just felt horribly energyless. You know, it's not that I haven't, you know, had a bad knees, and sometimes I'm tired and have a lot of things. In fact, you know, my life tends to be very intense and overwhelming in a lot of ways. And yet, you know, as I cast my cares on the Lord and faith rest in Him, I find strength. But for the last few days, I just am like, I am just tired. I can't seem to get my strength at all. And I asked a few people to pray for me today. I asked the church yesterday to pray as well. And you know, I started out this morning just feeling the same way. And somewhere around 10 o'clock this morning, it's just like the strength started coming. And the Lord has been very gracious, and I've had a lot of strength today to tackle everything that I needed to tackle. not everything, but what I needed to tackle, to get ready for Gibbs at least. You know, and I really do covet your prayers, as I have a bunch of work to do to get ready for El Salvador, not only for the trip, but also some things at home and some things related to the church and so forth and so forth. And I appreciate prayer for my wife as well in regards to all this. But here's a great principle. Now, there's a third one I find in this first passage, namely, godly and growing spiritual leaders personally experience the comfort of God through believing His Word, answers to prayer, and personal contact with spiritual believers. Now, it almost goes without saying that it's easier to preach the Bible than it is to practice it. Amen? And it's important to remember that every true spiritual leader is hopefully in the process of growth as well. They haven't arrived, though they must be morally qualified. And they're still learning God's Word, and what they've learned, they're still learning to apply. What they've sought to apply, they're still learning to apply more consistently and wisely. But one thing we must learn, and the earlier you learn this, the better, is where real comfort can be found and how. And the same is true of every believer in Christ, including you. You may have some very real needs in your life right now. You may be experiencing difficult and demanding trials. You may be dealing with undeserved suffering. And, you know, these realities are not unique to the unsaved. I mean, believers are not exempt from problems and trials in their marriages or in their families, in their church or with their health or with their finances and when it comes to making decisions and so forth. But keep in mind, is God sovereign? Does He have a plan for you? Is God gracious and merciful so that His plan is good, perfect, and acceptable? Is God omniscient so He knows what's best and what you really need? Is He omnipotent so when it comes to your troubles, is anything too hard for God? Does He love you? Does He want really what's best for you? And thus, where can real comfort be found in your trials? If you were to recreate this passage, it should look something like this. And again, you've noticed I'm doing a lot of recreations, even in my messages, for you and for others, but to start to think this way and look at things this way. And so we see here, again, similar to kind of Ephesians 1, starts out with, "Blessed be the God and Father of" who? "Of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father of mercies and who is the God of all comfort, who comforts us again in all our tribulation, who comforts us that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, that we may be able to comfort those with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." So where can you find comfort in your trials? Well, we see exactly where it's found. It's found again, in God the Father, who is the Father of mercies, who is the God of all comfort. That's where it's found. And you see, the word for comfort here is paraklesis in the noun form, or parakaleo in the verb form. And the word parakaleo means to come alongside someone in order to help them. It would be like you're struggling along, someone comes alongside and offers help to you. And that's the idea. He's there to comfort you. He's there to encourage you. He's there to enable you in the trials that you face. You've got to remember where comfort comes from first. Now, the Lord could use people to comfort you, but the ultimate source of comfort is always from the Lord. And who does God want to comfort? Well, we see here, He's the God of all comfort who comforts us. Us. Context, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no real comfort for the unsaved until they come to trust in Christ via the gospel. Now, God may use suffering, difficulties, and trials to bring them to Christ, but who He really wants to comfort is believers. Now, how often and when does God want to comfort you? What we see here, He's the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our tribulation. In all our tribulation. How often? Well, all the time. When? In all our tribulation. Now, isn't that interesting? In it. He wants to comfort you in it. You know, our tendency to think is He will comfort us by getting us out of it. But He wants to comfort you in it. In all. Now, all means what? All. Are there any trials He can't comfort you in? Is there any trials He doesn't want to comfort you in? No. And the word for tribulation here is an interesting word. It's the word philipsis. And philipsis carries the idea of extreme pressure. It was used of grapes being crushed underneath the foot of someone's feet in a wine press. And there are times when you feel just like, yeah, man, I feel crushed. I feel just pressured. I feel just overwhelmed. I feel, and this is where God wants to comfort you. God wants to comfort you. In all our tribulation. The big ones and the little ones, and your marital problems, and your family issues, and your church conflicts, with a rebellious child, with the death of a loved one, with the loss of your health. In all our tribulations, God wants to comfort us. Though if we brought the problem on ourselves due to our rebellion and sin, He wants us to repent and confess our sins to the Lord. And the best way to deal with troubles, whether self-induced or undeserved, is by walking in dependence on the Lord and enjoying fellowship with Him. You know, like I've said before, if you're making a mess of your life and you're digging yourself a hole, drop the shovel. You know, some believers get themselves in the jam and then they, I'm going to get myself out. And they just hang on to the shovel and keep digging. You know, God's not asking you to get out. Turn to Him. Remember, He's your source of comfort. He's your source of deliverance. In your tribulation, in those pressures you're sensing. How can you receive and enjoy the comfort of God in your trials? Permit me to highlight three ways how you can tap into the comfort of God. Number one, through believing His promises. Through believing His promises. Why don't you go with me to Psalm 119 for a quick moment. Psalm 119. Now you know this is the longest chapter in the Bible. And it's all about what the Bible is all about. In Psalm 119, verse 69... that's not the right verse. Well, 67, yeah. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've kept your word. Verse 71, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Look at verse 92. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. And the idea in each case here is the sense that God's Word is what's going to sustain you. You're going to find comfort in His Word and in His promises. And you know, that's what the faith rest life's about. Mixing the promises of God with faith. You know, there have been a few times over the years here at Duluth Bible Church when I was very discouraged and I thought of resigning as the pastor teacher at DBC. And you know what sustained me? You know what encouraged me in my discouragement? What comforted me in my trials? It was the truth and promises of God. Especially in my daily quiet time with the Lord. Quietly praying, reading, finding comfort from the Lord. In fact, I'll tell you again, Don't bypass some time with the Lord on a regular basis. Well, you know, I'm studying the Bible and I'm taking this and that. You know, you need that quiet time with the Lord to commune with Him. And it seemed that every day the passage I read and I prayed over ministered specifically to the needs of my heart as God tenderly comforted me. God did it by reading the Word of God, by renewing my mind in the Word of God, of reminding me of the promises of God, of reminding me of the God of all comfort that He is. And again, it's just what I needed. Now, if you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you see a second way in which you can receive and enjoy the comfort of God. It's through answers to prayer. Through answers to prayer. Verse 11, you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Now, sometimes it's by you getting answers to prayer. It's sometimes by others praying for you. Don't be too proud to ask for prayer. You know, I've asked several people for prayer in the last day or two. And I believe that many of them are praying. And as a result, God answers prayer and He comforts us, sometimes in direct response to prayer. And in fact, you know, with this upcoming mission trip, you know, I certainly covet your prayers. I'm more concerned about chikungunya than I am the gangs, though the gangs are something to be concerned about, obviously. Some 30,000 gang members in El Salvador. And so if we need you to pray for us, we will be involved in some traveling. Sometimes just being on the road is a trial in itself. A couple trips ago, we almost got hit by a semi out of hell. That's what I called it, you know. I mean, it came out of nowhere, a belly dumper doing 80 miles an hour in the wrong lane from behind us as we were taking a left-hand turn. And the driver just paused temporarily and I could see it. I mean, it was not more than this far away from us. And the whole van shook. This was 4 a.m. Nobody on the road. No one ever saw this thing even coming from the back. And it was like, I turned to Joan and I said, did you see what happened? I mean, it's like, we were inches away from getting, you know, we would have gone to be with the Lord and never even knew what hit us. But the Lord protected us. You know, Brett Nazareth reminded me yesterday as we were talking about one of the first trips he was on, in which, again, we were going around this mountain pass and this little Zuzu pickup passed us, and within 10 seconds of passing us, another flatbed truck was coming the other way and literally ran right over the top of this truck, sheared off the top, killed the driver instantly, the passenger. His wife was killed soon after. One of the kids was thrown from the flatbed truck because the truck driver had no brakes and was going downhill, downshifting, thinking that would be enough, which was absolutely foolish. He then ran for his life because sometimes there's revenge vigilante activity in El Salvador. Of the 25 kids on the back of one of them was thrown and killed. I mean, and all of that happened just right in front of our eyes. Yeah, and it was like the Lord protected us. You know, the Lord didn't protect those folks, but He protected us in that case. You know, but one of the successes or keys to success on any mission trip are the churches back here praying. Remember us in prayer every day. We need it. Pray for strength. Pray for health. Pray for safety. Pray for maximum ministry contact and opportunities. I'm going to be talking to the pastor of a large church in San Salvador, Lord willing, Saturday night out for supper. And I'm hoping to have a good contact, encouragement there, and so forth. I'd appreciate your prayers and for all the team. Pray for the translators. In some ways, they have a much harder job than I do. In fact, I requested a stool like this so I can just sit and teach for hours. It's the translators that work the hardest. They have to listen to what's said, then turn around in a moment and kick it out in Spanish. and it's very taxing. And we have two translators, Joan Wehner and Gnarly Solano, who comes over from Nicaragua. And she's an excellent translator. And then we do have Kevin McNulty, who does some conversational translation, Dale Vogel, who does some conversational translation. And all of those are very valuable as well. It's Sonny and I, the teachers, who... Sonny knows a little more Spanish than I do. You know, I just know how to get to the bathroom, per se. So we appreciate your prayers. Number three, you can receive the comfort of God through personal contact with spiritual believers. If you look at chapter 7 for a moment, chapter 7, verses 6 and 7, notice how he says, "Nevertheless, God who comforts the downcast comforted us by what? The coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more." Sometimes what's very comforting is when you're concerned about someone, and someone comes and says, "You know, I met with so-and-so, that, you know, they're coming around or they're responding well." It's just like, praise the Lord. You find comfort. Because, you know, you love people and you care about them and you want them to succeed spiritually. And we know there's a very real spiritual battle going on. And frankly, a carnal believer can pull you down quicker than an unbeliever. So that's why I designated a spiritual believer here. And sometimes, you know, where I find great encouragement, just sitting around fellowshipping with other believers that are enjoying the Lord. They'll encourage you. Make sure you take time for that. So how does all of this apply to you? Let me ask you, in your trials and your pressures, are you turning to the God of all comfort? Are you reminding yourself who He is? Are you reminding yourself of His promises? Are you mixing them with faith? Are you committing things to Him in prayer? Are you asking for prayer from others? And even spending some time with spiritual believers where you can get encouraged. You say, "I don't have time!" You know, neither do I. But you know, it's important and helpful. And the Lord will comfort you through it all. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you again for this passage of Scripture. Thank you that you want to comfort us in all our tribulation. You want to comfort each one of us tonight by reminding us of who you are, by us taking you at your word, by us casting our cares upon you, and even others praying for us, and even the iron sharpening other one another's, in which another believer so often can encourage us. And hopefully we can encourage them. So thank you for this, and uplift and encourage these believers, Father, we pray. And we recognize at times through these difficulties, you're also teaching us to cut out fat or remind us of what's really important, or even bringing us to places of sacrifice that we need to be reminded of. So, because we are very prone to coddle ourselves. In so many ways. But we don't want to sacrifice what's really important, our relationship with you and our relationship with others. So, Father, we ask that you would direct with all of this now and give us the balance that only you can. Thank you again for the God that you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to give you 4 minutes if you want to use the bathroom.